It's Lake Effect Weekend on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. There are Native American burial mounds across the United States, but the kind found in Wisconsin and nearby areas of Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota are distinct to this region. The 3 to 4 foot high earthen effigy mounds depict panthers, deer, bears, raptors, and other animals.
But according to historian and author Robert Birmingham, Wisconsin's effigy mounds are not only archaeological monuments, they are also works of art. Birmingham is a professor emeritus of archaeology at UW-Waukesha, and he's the former Wisconsin State archaeologist.
He's also written several books on the subject. In this edition of Radio Chipstone, contributor Jennifer Fields digs a bit deeper into the history of our remaining mounds with Birmingham, who says the mounds tell the story of cultural growth, community, and change.
First of all, you have to understand that the mounds themselves developed over time. They took on different forms as culture changed. So the same people were involved, but their culture had changed through time that emphasized different aspects. All of the mounds are earthen. All of the mounds have burials. But through time, the building of the mounds and the inclusion of the burials had different messages. For example, the effigy mounds themselves were built during a time when Native people were transitioning from being hunters and gatherers to farmers. So this is a part of that story. If you want to look at it this way, the actual building of a monument, a burial mound or other monument with your ancestors involved, gives you claim to that territory, to that land. You're establishing a solid link as your culture is quickly changing, and people need that sort of solid link, especially when culture is changing very rapidly.
So, Robert, then what would be those signs of change? Would it be the shape, the depth, the location of the mound itself, or would it be the objects inside the mound, or both?
Well, both. You have to look also to the villages and campsites. And the mounds are only giving us a very narrow view of cultures. In fact, effigy mounds rarely have any grave goods. Their material culture is not a part of their expression in death. But we look at the other sites, villages, camps, and even caves and rock shelters where they put their drawings of their sacred beings and so on. From all that evidence, we see, for example, changes in pottery styles. Right now, archaeologists could pick up even a small broken sherd and say, oh, Middle Woodland, 500 AD, or something like that, because the people made distinctive types of pottery at specific times, and even within large groups of people, sometimes subgroups made variations on that to the extent where sometimes we could tell where one people came from by the kind of pottery they made. Stone tools changed. At about 500 AD, in the archaeological record, we see spear points starting to be very small. The bow and arrow had been introduced. You can't have a big whopping spear point because it wouldn't go anywhere. So we can see in the archaeological record when the bow and arrow first came in, replacing other forms of weaponry. But also we find in camps and villages remains of food. We can, for example, look at pollen and seeds and sometimes charred pieces of food and tell when agriculture was first forming here, being added to hunting of deer and other sorts of things. And what we like to do is to make the correlations. So what was changing when the effigy mounds appeared? What was changing in their society also? Was subsistence, economy, are these related? Those sorts of correlations can be made because we have a rich record, basically, from these times. Now, having said that, I should mention that when we talk about rapid change, we're not talking about the kind of rapid change we see today. We're talking about slow change that happens over decades or hundreds of years and sometimes millennia. I used to tell my students that they have seen more change in their lives than most ancient people saw in hundreds of years.
Do we also see evidence of trade? Do we see evidence of interaction with other peoples? How broad is that net?
Especially early on, about 2,000 years ago, we see people here in Aswancheon, for example, engaging in vast trade networks with other people on the East Coast, in the western part of the United States, bringing in exotic goods. They're even here in Wisconsin, a common find 2,000 years ago, are seashells from Florida that had special meaning. However, following that, during what we call the Late Woodland, when the effigy mounds are being built, all trade ceased, and the only exchange took place within the group and not externally, possibly because they were living in a very productive area themselves. Their population was growing, and to have external relationships would put more pressure on the resources that were available. So instead, they developing ceremonies that they share within themselves but exclude other people.
So as we move forward and we continue, I know there's a third book coming out, and we continue to look at effigy mounds, what is the big takeaway you want people to have when you're, because I know there was a culture at one point in the late 1800s, early 1900s, where people would go to picnics and go on mound digs.
Right, yeah.
You know, that we've right. lost so many of them due to development,
right.
due to sprawl. What do you want people to take away from this? Do you want people to not only discover mounds through your eyes, but do you also want to see them through the lens of someone who may stumble upon one?
The first thing I would like people to take away from the mounds is this lesson. And that is, this is Indian land. And until it was taken, stolen from them, this was all Indian land. It's an important lesson to know that Native people had occupied this area, all the Americas, for thousands of generations. And so these mounds then become a visible reminder of the real history of this land. We don't have to talk about invisible things. Here is a mound that represents an important spirit being, even today among Native people. The second one is that these people also had incredibly complex societies, and they had a rich history of culture change and so on, equivalent to any people on Earth. And so these are teaching moments. When someone who knows nothing about the mounds but knows that they are ancient, I do think that there is a possibility of a magical experience. This is something that allows your mind to wonder and speculate that 1,000 years ago there was a ceremony on the spot. On the spot. That had to do with death, but also renewing life, you know, and that a visitor then can meditate on that and maybe renew their own life.
Material culture contributor Jonifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts.
This week, Jonifer spoke with historian and author Robert Birmingham about Wisconsin's effigy mounds.